This is Jerome Aginla, and you're listening to Get the Puck Out.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Welcome back.
Oh, yeah, man, how you doing?
Come on,
you good?
Come on. I know you like that.
All right, guys, grab your stick. Tickle my dick. We're back. It's Get the Puck Out. I am back. Chris Mancuso joined alongside Jack Gotzel. He's a Boston Bruins writer for Black and Gold Hockey and the newest member of the Tarpsoff hockey team. Jack, you and me, both Bruins fans, we're here. Like, we're going to use this episode as a bit of a therapy session for a little bit before we get into the rest of it. The Boston Bruins fell last night 3-2. In double overtime and lost the series 4-1 to the Tampa Bay Lightning, who, let's be real, are the much better, faster, stronger team. What did you see overall?
Well, I think the Boston Bruins are dead for a couple of different reasons. I think one of them is Coach Cassidy in some of the game 3 lineup. We both said it as soon as we saw the lineup that that lineup was terrible. He decided to ride Chara into the ground. Chara wasn't good. He never took him out of the lineup. He took too long to move Pasta to the second line. The Bruins were dead in the water as soon as Tuukka Rask got injured. Krug didn't have a good series. Chara didn't have a good series. We weren't physical enough, and we couldn't finish.
Yeah, I think those are all really fair assessments. And listen, when you look at a team like the Tampa Bay Lightning and you put them up against a team like the Boston Bruins, you know, a lot of the Boston faithful, they're high on Kasha, they're high on Bjork, they're high on Clifton, they're high on Lozon, these kind of guys. Now, the difference between Boston and Tampa Bay is Tampa Bay understands that their core doesn't have a lot of time left. So instead of worrying about their versions of Clifton, Lozon, Bjork, Stadnica, who I love, but he's not ready yet. You know what I mean? Those kind of guys, they went and plugged these holes with guys who took less money to try to win. You got Zach Bogosian. You got Shattenkirk. You got Patty Maroon. They went out and got Blake Coleman and Barkley Goodrow. This is a team that saw their core, knew what it takes to win in the playoffs, and addressed it. And year after year, Don Sweeney either takes the cheap route or doesn't do much of anything at all, and they paid for it yet again this season. They didn't do enough. This team has no secondary scoring in Boston. If the top line isn't going, nothing's going to happen good for that team. And then you see, you know, like you said, I know Mark Allred, the owner of Black and Gold, he's been calling for Pasternak to go on that second line to balance out the scoring all season. And it took Cassidy until yesterday in the second period to do it. Too little, too late. Back to what you said as well with the game 3 lineup. Yeah, when Tampa Bay decided to bring in 7 defensemen and bring Luke Shen in, Cassidy tried to do the same thing, brought Moore and Lozon in, took out Clifton, who was playing well. It was a nightmare, man. You know, I think the Boston Bruins were in pretty tough the entire time. They had all the drama circulating the team when Pasternak and Kasha revealed to the team that they had went and practiced a couple of days before coming back in the Czech Republic, and that one of the players on the ice actually ended up having COVID that they were with. So that's why they had all the guys missing practices. What did they have, like 9 players out one day? And then, you know, the unfortunate situation happens with Tuukka Rask, and you know what, man, the guy made a family decision at the end of the day. You can't really harp on the guy for it. I'm not going to be like Mark James on Twitter, who had like a fucking meltdown last night. Everyone's like, you're the biggest piece of shit in the world. Like, for me, it was funny, man. Like, he was just in his feelings. Like, he was just fucking Tuukka Rask, you backstabbed us, da 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 da. It's like every single Bruins fan who told me that they weren't going to watch any more hockey ever again after the NHL shut down for the Black Lives Matter stuff for 2 days, were all tweeting about the game last night. It's just everyone gets in their feelings, right? It's no big deal.
And I'm not harping on Tuukka. I understand it, but to say it didn't affect the Bruins would be nuts. And
of like what you did.
What you said before, go back to the deadline. Kasha, he's a great hockey player. He's not a win right now hockey player. If you wanted to make a big move, you bring in Palmieri, because Kasha, he's a work in progress. The problems he had in Anaheim just came over to now he has the same problems in Boston.
Creating chances but can't finish them. Exactly. Yes. That's the story of that guy's career, and he needs a little bit more polishing, and he's a young guy. They needed a Blake Coleman. They needed a Kyle Palmieri. Those are the guys that Don Sweeney should have been targeting. But you know what? They had to grab Kasha in a deal where they could get Backes off the books, which was a bad contract given out by Don Sweeney. You know, a lot of people making what do over the lineup and this and that. But you know what? This team's been mismanaged for sure. I mean, you look at Zdeno Chara. He's been the captain of this team for 14 years. And, you know, the core has been together for well over a decade. And when you look back now, 3 Stanley Cup appearances, only 1 cup, a bunch of president's trophies, and a bunch of individual awards all the way through. We're looking at a team that last night and even the year before, I would have said, yeah, over the last decade, this is one of the best teams. Now I'm starting to wonder if they're one of the most disappointing teams. Like, I think they underachieved with all the players they have. And I think management never really put them in a position with Tyler Seguin trades. And you know what I mean? Just things. It seemed like anytime this team could kind of get something going up for them, there always had to be something going down. You know, at the deadline, they add Rick Nash, the 1 year Sweeney. He doesn't get a goal because he gets hurt. You know, 2013, they add Jaromir Jagr. He doesn't get a goal. It's just like, it seems like no matter who's in charge, whether it's Shirelli or Sweeney or Cam's input on both guys, it seems like that team has a hard time getting anything together properly. Like, they just can't put it all together. The 1 year in 2011, they were able to do that. And if Tim Thomas didn't play the best goaltending season in the history of hockey, they wouldn't have got a cup there either. So to sit back and say, like, oh yeah, this, and I get it. I get everybody's sad. And Krejci was sad last night. This core only has 1 to 3 years left, depending on what guys are moving in and out. And we'll talk about that in a sec as well.
Yeah, that Krejci interview was hard to watch.
Yeah, I mean, the guy played his balls off all the entire bubble. I think he was Boston's best player the entire time. So I had nothing but respect for David Krejci in that situation. But yeah, man, it's just, you know, if you're a fan of the Boston Bruins, there's going to be a rough transition period coming to this team pretty soon, because Father Time discriminates against nobody. We saw it in Zdeno Chara. And guess what? You're going to start to see it in guys like Patrice Bergeron. Maybe not next year. But like Krejci said, within 1 to 3 years, you know, Krejci's deal's up after next season. Marchand's, what, 33 years old, 32 years old. Like, that, I mean, it's not going to be overnight, but the time for a transition with this team is starting a lot sooner than I think anybody really could fathom. And, you know, you watch hockey for so long, and those are the guys that are there, and you just get accustomed to it. But there'll be some big changes coming this offseason in Boston, I think. But I do want to move on and talk about last night's game, where the Colorado Avalanche end up banging the door and keep themselves alive with a 6-3 victory over the Dallas Stars last night. Nate MacKinnon showed up, and the entire team showed up. And, buddy, I'm saying it right now, that series is going 7. Colorado ain't dead. Colorado,
you think that's going 7?
See, it's going 7.
I think that ends in game 6. I think that the reason Dallas lost was Ben Bishop came in and he threw up a stinker. That defense is so good, in that Colorado offense up to last night has been ice cold. I think Khudobin comes back in. I think the defense for Dallas is just too much for Colorado's stinker of an offense that they've had this postseason. And I think Dallas ends it in 6.
Yeah, hey, that's a fair assessment. That's a fair assessment. So speaking of 6, we have a game 6 going on tonight. This is a game 5, actually. This is the Philadelphia Flyers and New York Islanders. That's game 5. The Islanders lead the series 3-1. They've looked great. The New York Islanders, Barry Trotz coach team, Pageau, Bolivier, all playing great hockey. You love to see Barzal out on the ice whipping around. Jordan Eberle gives them timely goals. But the number one surprise guy for me on that team, Brock Nelson, the emergence of Brock Nelson. What a playoff player he's become. What a player in general he's become. Big fan of Big Cock Brock. I think he's got 2 game winners in a row. So you love to see that. How do you see the Flyers and Islanders series panning out here?
I think the Flyers are very similar to the Boston Bruins in that they're dead in the water. There's some guys there on the Philadelphia Flyers that you could put on a milk carton right now. We haven't seen them. I mean, with the exception of
Voracek, Couturier, I mean, he scored last game, but before that, I mean, he only has two goals since they arrived in the bubble. And I know he's a great defensive player, but Sean Couturier only had two goals. James Van Riemsdyk. Philadelphia has been getting their role guys have been carrying this team, and I think you're starting to see the wheels come off that bus, and they're very much like the Boston Bruins. A lot of
guys, Kevin Hayes leads the team in points with only 9 points.
That's what I'm saying, 9 points. And to put that in perspective, Nathan MacKinnon leads the playoffs with 23 points. So, like, I'm not saying that you need to be leading the playoffs, but when your top guy is 9 and most guys' top scorers are in that 18 to 23-point range, you're going to find yourself in these low-scoring games, and you're going to find yourself in trouble, especially when you're playing a tight-checked, well-coached team like you are playing when you take on the New York Islanders. So you're thinking the Islanders finish this off tonight?
I think the Islanders finish it off tonight.
I'm going the opposite. Yesterday I called it right. I said I thought the Bruins were done and Colorado was going to stay alive. I'm going Vegas wins tonight. And I'm giving Claude Giroux and these guys the benefit of the doubt. I think Voracek, Giroux, I think they're going to show up tonight. I think Kevin Hayes is going to have a good game as well for some reason. But you know what? I think that they could end up winning and forcing themselves into a game six here. Carter Hart has been one of the best goalies in the entire bubble. 22 years old. The kid's an absolute porn star stud. I don't know. I think that the Philadelphia Flyers will end up showing up tonight and at least making it interesting. But the Islanders are going to take the series. And I think the Islanders are a tough matchup for the Tampa Bay Lightning, too.
Absolutely. Carter Hart reminds me of like a young Ken Dryden. Like, I really think he's going to be that good. He can easily steal you a game. I would not be shocked to see if Carter Hart steals a game tonight.
Yeah, that's where I'm going with that, where I just think that the intimidation factor in the other series, the Vegas Golden Knights and Vancouver Canucks, you know, it kind of, other than the game two response, which I thought was great from the young guys in Vancouver and what a future they have, general manager Jim Benning has done a great job with drafting development. That trade for JT Miller, a lot of people didn't get it at the time. He has been unbelievable. I think they lost 5-3 last game or something like that. He had 3 assists. He's been perfect for them. Like, was such a perfect fit.
You hear his name on the broadcast more than you hear anyone else.
Yeah, JT Miller is a super involved player, and I can't state enough what a great job Jim Benning has done with that team after a bit of a rocky start to his general manager career. But you know what? The organization stuck with him, and look what he's done now. I think they've got themselves a really nice team. Obviously, Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes are the future. But you know what? They're going to find themselves in a bit of a cap predicament this summer too, because after this year, Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson need the Brinks truck. It's money time for those two coming up. So I will see what happens with everything that unfolds with the Vancouver Canucks, but they have a great future. But this whole playoff series versus the Vegas Golden Knights has kind of looked like, you know, like a little brother trying to fight their big brother when the little brother's like 8 and their big brother's like 12. Like, you're just not going to win it. You know what I mean? Like, it's that, like, you know, Ryan Reeves has even got the other, has Travis Green, Vancouver Canucks head coach, off his game. He's got everybody off their game, getting into John matches. It's like watching a team bully another team. It's honestly like schoolyard bullying. So I'm thinking that the Flyers stay alive tonight. The Vegas Golden Knights take out the Vancouver Canucks. How do you see Vegas Vancouver going?
I have answered this the same way every single time you've asked me. I have no idea. It completely depends on which Vancouver team shows up. They are Jekyll and Hyde. They are so inconsistent. I think Vegas is going to smash them, but who knows? The other Vancouver could show up and they could shock.
Then they can win 5-2. That's what I mean. Like, there is this Vancouver that shows up that's almost, I don't want to call them wimpy, but like, Vegas is just so tough that it kind of makes them look wimpy. But then that response game after, you know, they got crushed in the first game and Reeves was laughing and had Roussel all off, they came out and were like, fuck you, buddy. Like, we're in it to win it. And you know what? You're right. They are a Jekyll and Hyde team because they're so young. And these situations do call for a certain style of play to be played, and it's a little bit harder to do when you're younger. But I noticed the Vegas Golden Knights always trying to get a piece out of Quinn Hughes. Now, let's turn – I got you here, blackandgoldhockey.com's Jack Gotsel and – Tarps Off Hockey Jack as well, for anybody who didn't know that. Now you know. You go on over to sportscaster.com/tarpsoff, and you can find me and Jack and all the rest of the idiots at Tarps Off Hockey there breaking down all the games. But you look at what the I want to bring it back to Boston. You look at Torrey Krug becoming a free agent, Zdeno Chara potentially being on his way out the door and should be on his way out the door after 14 magnificent seasons as captain. Name will go right to the rafters as soon as they can have fans in the arena. One of those guys that gets like an instant jersey retire, the whole shebang. Zdeno Chara is going to get it. But I want to talk about Torrey Krug. Torrey Krug did not look good in the bubble. The guy is looking to get paid. And I think he feels a little disrespected in the fact that they haven't even had a contract offer or anything between the Bruins and him yet. If you're the Boston Bruins, Jack, now I know you don't like Krug defensively, but there's no arguing the fact that he puts up 40 to 50 assists every year for the last 5-6 seasons. The power play runs through Torrey Krug, which has been in what, the top five the last 2 or 3 years, ever since
Absolutely.
Came in. Like, there's a lot of positives outside of, I know the guy doesn't play good defense and is small, but if you're the Boston Bruins, you don't sign Torrey Krug, do you?
No. I don't sign Torrey Krug. He's undersized. He is a complete liability in this defensive zone. And hockey works like this. You have to score more goals than the other team. It really becomes as simple as that. And Torrey Krug is on the ice for way more goals against than he's on for goals for. And yes, he runs the power play, but you don't think Charlie McAvoy can step right in and run that power play?
Well, you saw Grizzlick do it too.
Yeah, or Grizzlick. But Charlie McAvoy, he's only going to get better. He's still young. He's still so young. I know he's been in the league for a while, so people like forget how young he is. He's going to get a lot better, and I think he will be the guy that controls the Boston power play for years to come, so you might as well get him adjusted to it now.
Yeah, and then you look at restricted free agent they have in Matt Grzelcyk, like, plays a very similar style. You look at the left side of Boston's defense. It's what, Torrey Krug, Matt Grzelcyk, and Charlie McAvoy? Like, that's too small. That's going to get you forechecked into the ground by Patrick Maroons, Blake Coleman's, Barkley Goudreau's, Paquette's, all those guys. Jay, they just had a heyday on those small Boston Bruins defensemen when they were forechecking. And you saw it last night. You know, they just couldn't get any possession, and it came out to Hedman, and he was able to put a shot through and finally beat Halak, who I will say played a fucking an amazing game last night. Halak should not – I know he let in a bad second goal there in game 4 and whatever and a couple of ones, but that guy should do nothing but hold his head high for the situation he was asked to come in.
I agree with that.
Care of. I think Jaro Halak showed that he's one of the best backup goalies that any team could have in the entire league. But I think that the Boston Bruins now, say you got Zdeno Chara gone off the right side and Torrey Krug goes, you can't do what you've done in the past and just expect to patch these holes with Jeremy Lozon, who's not ready, and Connor Clifton, who's not ready. And I love these guys, but these guys would do so much more damage and be so much more beneficial to go into the AHL and learn the physical style of hockey, not get thrown right into the NHL atmosphere. Do what Tampa did. Get your Zach Bogosian, get your Kevin Shattenkirk, get your tough, you know, Chernak, like, whatever you think about him as a defenseman, he's hard to play against. The Boston Bruins defense outside of Zdeno Chara is too easy to play against. Brandon Carlo's a big kid, but he's certainly not a physical kid.
Seen it at times, though. When Kevin Miller first got hurt, Brandon Carlo really stepped up and he brought like a physical game, and then the stoppage happened and then we came into the bubble and he didn't bring that with him. The last, like, before he got injured, obviously he was injured before the stoppage in play, but the games before that, he had some nasty to his game, and I was loving Brandon Carlo, and I thought that was the Brandon Carlo we were going to see when play resumed, and we didn't. And as for Connor Clifton, he plays a lot bigger than he is. He is physical. You saw him getting in Maroon's face. You saw him playing a physical game. That's why I was so pissed when he got taken out of the lineup, because spark plug for the Boston Bruins.
But if you want to win the Stanley Cup, those can't be the guys you're relying on.
I agree.
Shattenkirks, you need your Bogosians. You need a Chernak. You need guys who have been in the league, who have played in these situations, who have been there. If I'm the Boston Bruins, I let I let Zdeno Chara either walk or retire, whatever. It doesn't matter. Whatever he wants to do, he can't be in the lineup next year. And Torey Krug go. I signed Matt Greslick to hopefully, you know, I think Grez is what, $3.5 million a year defenseman, probably back there for what he's done so far. I have no problem going.
Maybe even get him on a better deal. I mean, he's a Boston kid. He went to BU. He's from Boston. Maybe he signs a little bit of a hometown deal.
Yeah, especially if they can get him on some sort of bridge, like you saw McAvoy and Carlo have no problem doing. That'll be up to Don Sweeney. But then you look at the free agent pool, and obviously you see Alex Pietrangelo. Boston doesn't have the cap space to pull that off. Unless they do some miraculous shit, that would obviously be a great target. But when you look down, I think they need to grab two of these free agent defensemen that are out there. And you look at guys like, so this isn't going to be a popular answer in Boston, but because he had kind of a tough season this year. But if you could get a one-year deal, prove-it deal out of Tyson Barrie, who really struggled in Toronto, and to kind of fill into that Torey Krug role, I wouldn't even hate it, because you could probably get him on something of like a one-year, $2.5 million, $3 million prove-it deal where he can come in and try to run that power play if Grizzlick or McAvoy aren't up to the task. But I ain't even really looking at him. Guys that I'm looking at are like Sammy Vatanen. I think
Sammy Vatanen
would be a very, very, very interesting play for the Boston Bruins, and I think that he is somebody that they absolutely should be looking into. And then, you know, I think this team saw it in this playoff series. Brendan Dillon is going to be a free agent. I don't think he signed a deal with the Washington Capitals.
He did not. He will be a free agent.
Whatever Boston can do to get Dillon signed, get Dillon signed. Dillon should be a Boston Bruin. If they let Krug and Chara go and signed Vatanen and Brendan Dillon, I think the Boston Bruins are a better team today.
Brendan Dillon is mouthwatering to me. He is that shutdown defenseman. He is that get in your face.
A guy that you would put right next to Charlie McAvoy for the next 4 or 5 years.
Absolutely. Brendan Dillon, I'm all in on that. I'm all in on Vatanen too. I know earlier you mentioned Rocco Gudas in a conversation we had.
Yep. Yeah. That's another guy that if he came cheap and maybe would be battling for that 6th, 7th defenseman spot. I don't like Gudas. I think he plays like an asshole. I think he's a bit of a coward, but guess what? He will physically engage. He's always looking to throw the hit. He's always looking to put his body in front of the puck. The Boston Bruins were letting Halak get all these goals tipped off of them because no one will fully commit to blocking a shot. And that was a problem for me with that team, that series. And I think that if you're the Boston Bruins, you certainly have to look at the options of letting Krug walk, let Chara rock. And you don't need to blow up the defense, just a little retool. Retool it. That's all.
I think the Bruins have their 7th defenseman, though, actually. I do think Connor Clifton is your 7th guy.
Yes, I agree. I think Clifton can do it no problem. But if Chara and Krug walk, you can't just be like, oh, well, we're just going to throw. I was talking to Bruins Mafia on Twitter, and I like that kid. He's a good kid. But he was like, oh, yeah, and then you could just slide 79 and 75. I'm like, no, that's not how you win the Stanley Cup in the last fucking years of a fucking window. Like Tampa Bay did the opposite of that, and look where they're at now. That's what they stopped doing. Stopped putting guys into bad situations and started getting NHL caliber talent to come and take less to try to win a Stanley Cup. Don Sweeney should be able to do that. There's no reason why they paid Brett Ritchie more money than Patrick Maroon made last year. It's a fucking travesty.
That is awful. And you don't blow up the farm, because you see that teams that are good for a long period of time, they do raise their own players. They do get a good farm.
Oh, absolutely. But you don't even trade them. You just let them develop another year in Providence. Yeah. Like, I have no issue with Lauzon being down there. With even Clifton had to go down and do a year on the bus, it wouldn't bother me, because this core, like Krejci said, they got 1 year left. He said 1 to 3. I think that's being awfully generous. I think they got 1, maybe 2 years, but next year for sure is probably it. I was not to talk about the Bruins the entire time, but you know, like some free agent stuff here to talk about. And I'm with you on that. We have 2 games on.
And I don't want to trade for vets though. One last thing. I don't want to trade for vets. It's so frustrating seeing all these teams that get these great free agents, and it seems like every free agent we bring in is a bust. We need to hit a home run this year in free agency.
No, I agree. I agree with you, man. We need to hit a home run.
Yeah, and eventually. And then there's the uncertainty of Jake DeBrusk.
Yes, and that's another
topic. I don't know if Jake DeBrusk is back in a Bruins uniform.
I personally wouldn't have Jake DeBrusk back in a Bruins uniform, if we're being honest. And that's because he's too streaky. They need secondary scoring. And the way that some teams are going to have to move really good forwards for cap compliance, Jake DeBrusk is a nice first starting piece to really upgrade that second line forward position. He's a great starting piece. And if you could add, you know, like we were talking about Lauzon, Clifton, Jaro Vaakkanainen, like there's a logjam of capable defensemen in Boston. And one of them's going to have to be paired in a package like that to get a better player of Jake DeBrusk. And I have no problem doing that at all.
Yeah, Brock Besser in Vancouver, we know they're going to have some cap issues.
Yeah, man, Brock Besser is one guy to take a look at. Patrick Laine's name is going to be out there this summer because I know that the
it's risky.
Oh, it's super risky. There's a ton, but like, you know what? You got to take risks to succeed in this league. I don't know. I'm not saying that I would go with Laine. I'm really not saying that because I'm not a big fan, to be completely honest with you, but I'm just saying guys like that are going to become available. Max Domi is going to be available in Montreal. He's not going to be coming back there.
I have a feeling he's going to Pittsburgh.
I think he could be going to Pittsburgh too. I could definitely see something like that going down, but it's going to be a crazy offseason regardless. But we have games on tap tonight. Another double elimination night on the line. We could see the Flyers bounce. We could see the Canucks bounce. Jack, thanks for popping by and doing this and venting about the Bruins with me, buddy. But we'll cut it here because we're going to be back on Thursday. And we'll see kind of if we have Eastern Conference, Western Conference finals set in stone, or if we're going to be talking about some pivotal and crazy game sevens. Jack, just let everyone know where they can find you on social media and that before you go.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter on at Jack Gotsell, JACKGOTSELL. You can find me on Sportscaster with the rest of the Tarps Off crew. I'll be doing some of the games tonight, so I'll be there. And you can find me on TarpsOffHockey.net and BlackNGold.com. Black, the letter N, goldhockey.com.
That's right, buddy. Thanks for dropping by, Jack.
Thank you for having me.